I'll ask you to please turn with me this evening to the book of Nehemiah. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. And so it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there, and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand, O Lord, I pray. Please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I have never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad? Since you are not sick, this is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid, and said to the king, May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad, when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And we'll leave the reading of God's word, his inspired holy word, at that point. And we're going to be considering, just in a short series, the example of Nehemiah, whereupon we are given a testimony of leadership God's way. So much teaching in the book of Nehemiah about leadership. And the testimony of Nehemiah has served as an inspiration for church leaders for many centuries, especially in the manner in which Nehemiah inspired and led people. In his testimony, we see a beautiful harmony in the way in which a spiritually minded man uses the practically minded management gifts given to him by God. For Nehemiah, godliness and efficient management go hand in hand together. With such principles, Nehemiah could serve God in the palace of Artaxerxes, the most powerful king in the world at that time. Then he could be moved in God's providence to serve on the ruins of the walls of Jerusalem. He was a man of God that walked with God, was close with God, whether or not he was in the palace or in the ruins. Wherever Nehemiah was, these two principles of godliness and efficiency were applied. It is also evident that Nehemiah was a strong leader with clear objectives. And these could be summarized as him living and managing for for the honor of the Lord? Has not God said in his word that those who honor me, I will honor? And this is a promise that was clearly fulfilled in the life of Nehemiah. So Nehemiah's example clearly emphasizes to us the importance of strong and effective leadership. And this is something that we seek in a God-honoring way, and we have so much to learn as we consider the current and the future pathway of this church. Because such strong and effective leadership is crucial for the well-being of a church. So with this theme in mind, I just want to select certain characteristics of Nehemiah's testimony, which I hope will prove an encouragement to leaders and helpers alike, because this affects us all. We're a body of the Lord's people. And the first thing I would like to bring to your attention is Nehemiah's inspiration. Nehemiah's inspiration. It is evident that Nehemiah had the highest regard and respect for God. Several times Nehemiah records absolute truths about the sovereign God. He demonstrates to us what inspires his godly life and witness. What inspires our life? Is it the character of God? Is it the wonder of God's goodness to us? His mercy, his love, his grace, the wonder of his truth, the wonder of his faithfulness and compassion and long-suffering and his wisdom. Or if you look at Nehemiah then, let's look at chapter 1 verse 5 again. Look how he prays to God. I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. And then in chapter 1 verse 10, now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Notice the emphasis upon God. It's all about God. He's focusing in his prayers, unto God. Your servants, your people, your redemption, your great power, your strong hand. And he goes on to say in verse 11 again, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray thee, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So Nehemiah's inspiration was God. And then if we turn into chapter 9, we see him in a very different position. He's not in front of the king anymore. He's serving the Lord there in the midst of Jerusalem. And he's encouraging the people in their petitions. And in chapter 9 and verse 5, in that worship service there, we see the emphasis in that worship service recorded by Nehemiah in chapter 9 and verse 5. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. You are the Lord God. And so he goes on. You see, here is a man that had found the secret of the believer's life. It was a constant worship and reflection and contemplation and trust in the wonderful character of God. And Nehemiah confirms his constant and consistent respect that he has for the Almighty God when in the final chapter of this book, let's see what he says. In the final chapter of this book, we turn to chapter 13 and verse 12. chapter 13 verse 22. I beg your pardon. Chapter 13, verse 22. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, and that they should go out and guard the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of your mercy. And so Nehemiah understands that God is a great God. He's a holy God. He's a mighty God. And yet he's dependent upon the mercy of God. There is no pride here. Even though he's been instrumental in such an amazing way in the rebuilding of the walls and in a time of the reviving of true worship in Jerusalem. This is the way he finishes. Remember me, according, and spare me, according to the greatness of your mercy. And so he is a man who is inspired by God and inspired by the dealings of God towards him. And through the word of God and through experience, Nehemiah knew and understood that the Almighty God was sovereign, he was holy, he was compassionately merciful, he was infinite in power and grace, completely just and righteous. Now while Nehemiah had a deep and profound and reverent respect for the Almighty God, he also enjoyed a personal relationship with him. Several times you will notice in his inspiration, in his walk with God and his worship of God, he makes reference to this personal relationship he has with God. So if you turn with me to chapter 2 and verse 12, and he's now in Jerusalem, he's arrived at Jerusalem, but he didn't tell any man. He didn't come with a lot of ceremony and a lot of triumphalism, saying, I'm the man you need, look to me, I'm the answer to all your problems. Look at how this man of God dealt with this situation. Verse 12, then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. My God. Notice that? He speaks about my God. He's in a relationship with his God. And then chapter 2 verse 18, so he's now coming out and speaking openly now, and I told them of the hand of my God which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build, and they set their hand to this good work. So my God, isn't it a wonderful thing, friends, when we can not only speak about God, but we can say, my God, my God. We read this of this testimony again, if you'll please turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 5. He speaks of this again. Then my God put it into my heart to gather the nobles, the rulers and the people, that they might be registered by genealogy. And so I just want to just emphasize this whole point of relationship. We spoke about this on Sunday morning, about knowing Jesus as a person. It is so important for us. And Nehemiah realized that to be an effective leader in God's service, he needed first and foremost to be inspired by his respect for the Almighty God. That was the first point we have seen this evening. But the second point, to be an influential leader, he needed to be inspired and strengthened through his personal relationship with the Almighty God. And you see, that is why many of the Lord's servants are called to go through particularly deep pathways. Because they are called to speak the truth to the congregation, to the church, But if they've actually had something known and felt, some experience of this particular truth, the way they speak is very evidently different. It comes from here, not just from here. And a church which is discerning, and the churches are generally quite discerning in their membership as they themselves listen, they can discern whether or not a minister is speaking from the head or from the head and the heart. There's something about the way it is said. There's a, if I might say, a warmth with what they say. There's a, they can even say difficult things warmly, compassionately. And they can speak the truth in love. It is a very different thing to speak of a certain way that God deals with us when we've actually walked it ourselves, because we can speak, as it were, from the heart. And it's Nehemiah had a close walk with God, and when he spoke to the people, he was speaking about my God, whom I have a personal relationship with. And these two principles remain essential for us today, and they should inspire us in the same way as they did Nehemiah. So as we look to the future, a future pastor, then these two principles are important. The person's estimation of God, magnifying God, glorifying God, praising God, having the highest estimation of God and his word, but also speaking from the heart, a heartfelt message, something which resonates, showing a walk with God. So the first point then is Nehemiah's inspiration. And the second point, and that is the final point I'll deal with this evening, that is Nehemiah's burden. Nehemiah's burden. When Hananiah returned from Jerusalem, he briefed Nehemiah about the terrible state of Jerusalem and its inhabitants. And Nehemiah immediately realized the significance of the news. So we read in chapter 1, verse 3, after the Hananiah brought this report back from Jerusalem, they said to me, "The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates burned with fire." How are we going to respond to this? How did Nehemiah respond to this? What was his first reaction? What was the first thing he did? So it was, "When I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the Lord God of heaven, and said, I pray, Lord God of heaven." So the first thing Nehemiah did was wept and prayed. He fasted. For him, this was a serious problem. Even though he was a wealthy man, even though he had one of the highest positions in the land, he was a close confidant of the king. He lived in luxury. He lived in opulence. When he heard of the problems of fellow believers in Jerusalem, it became his burden. And the Apostle Paul speaks of this about being chained, as it were, with those who are persecuted. That we are in prayer. We are, as it were, chained with them, with their persecuted brethren. They're part of the body. We feel their burden. We have some respect and understanding of what they are going through. Now, Nehemiah could have left this matter and selfishly carried on with his duties. But the news came upon him. It truly burdened his mind and his heart. And this is a challenging question for us, because when we see the error and the deceit and the corruption and the worldliness in the church, and the way that the walls are broken down of doctrine, does it burden us? Does it concern us that the truth of God is not really being preached? That the gospel has not really been preached. Well, Nehemiah was so burdened, he was upset. And the sort of issues that grieve people indicate where their heart really lies. And Nehemiah's heart was with God's people. His heart was for God's glory. And why was he so moved then, in mind and heart? Why did he respond like this? Well, first and foremost, God, by his Holy Spirit, evidently, especially burdened Nehemiah about this matter. God's sovereign will was in preparing him for a future leadership position. The revival actually in Jerusalem can be traced back to God working by his sovereign grace in this one man when he went on his knees and he fasted and he prayed because he was so burdened about the state of Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah realizes that the reproach of the people in Jerusalem and the city's condition is actually a reproach upon the name of the Lord. He understood the implication here. This was not just about a city in ruins and the people discouraged and the people lacking motivation to rebuild. This was about the name of the Lord. This is about a reproach upon the name of the Lord. And you know, in a very small way, a much smaller way, this is practically why it's so important to look after the building of a church. If passers-by look at a building, a church building, and they see it run down and not cared for, and things not done properly, and things not being cared for properly, it's a reproach upon the name of the Lord. Because we have our notice board, we have our text, we have our welcome, and that's why it's so important that the facilities look as though they're cared for, that we mean what we say. Otherwise, it is a reproach upon the name of the Lord. And Nehemiah also realized that the future long-term welfare of Jerusalem was at stake here. He realized that there was a messianic importance of the Jews in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. This was about the prophecies of God eventually coming to fulfillment. Jerusalem was going to be a key place in the eventual launching of the gospel. And Christ's ministry would be in and around the area of this very area of the land. So for Nehemiah, this matter was not just a practical problem. It was a messianic salvation issue. The burden for Nehemiah in understanding the practical and spiritual issues at stake here molded and dramatically affected his future lifestyle. And so it will for you. If you have a burden about the Lord's people, the church, and the state of the church, it will mold the way you look towards the future. The burden here, in partnership with God's call, results in him, Nehemiah, leaving the comfort of the palace to serve God on the walls of Jerusalem, seeking the welfare of God's people. And in this call, Nehemiah is a type of Jesus Christ, who left the palace of heaven to come to this earth on a mission to save his people. Nehemiah is one of the types of Christ in this area. Very small way, admittedly, but he went from the palace to the ruins to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And Christ has come from the glory of heaven to the ruins of this world that he might build his church for his honor and for his glory, the glory of God. Now, Nehemiah's burden affected his whole being, and it could not be hid from the world. And so we read in chapter 2, verse 2, "The king said to me, 'Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? And since there is nothing but sorrow of heart,' so I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad, when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. In the wisdom of God, then, the heartfelt burden of Nehemiah for God's honour and God's church was used for good, to give him an opportunity to speak to the king, the most powerful king in the world at that time. Nehemiah had an open door to speak. And we just move on to one point, because it connects with this. The third heading is Nehemiah's wisdom. Nehemiah's wisdom. We've had Nehemiah's inspiration, we've had Nehemiah's burden, and now we're going to begin to look at Nehemiah's wisdom. We're only going to see one aspect of that this evening, because it links with verse 4. And as we consider in these coming weeks, God willing, if the Lord will, certain aspects of Nehemiah's testimony of personal wisdom, we are given insights into why his leadership was so effective, why he was so mightily used of God. These are characteristics we should look for in Nehemiah's testimony. They are there for a purpose. They help us to see and to understand how Nehemiah was so effective under God in leadership. And the first thing I will bring to your attention again under Nehemiah's wisdom, and this is just the one point here this evening, he was a praying man. Now we've seen this already. The first reaction was to weep and to pray when he heard of the dreadful news. But all through the book of Nehemiah, we see him as a praying man. There are no less than 9 references to prayer in the book of Nehemiah. And 8 of these references relate to Nehemiah, one of them to the Levites. So prayer was an essential part of Nehemiah's life. For example, it was his first resort we saw when Hananiah told him of the problems at Jerusalem. And in this prayer, you will notice very interestingly, the essential principles of prayer. There's a pattern for prayer here. If we turn back to this prayer in chapter 1, verse 4, adoration, first of all. But then there was confession. We confess the sins of the children of Israel. And then there's supplication unto God. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses saying. And then there's dependence upon God. Now these are your servants, your people, whom you have redeemed. Oh Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant. So we have these principles in prayer, this pattern, adoration, confession, supplication, dependence upon God. And this real adoration and confession drew him by faith unto God to ask his help in a spirit of true dependence. So God gave Nehemiah the burden, and Nehemiah took the burden to the Lord. And that's such a lesson for us this evening, friends. God will allow us to have a burden. He will put a burden upon us, an inescapable burden of a particular issue. And he does it for a purpose, because he wants us to pray about that burden. So he gives us the burden for a purpose, not to be overwhelmed by that burden, not to be crushed by that burden, but to take that burden to the Lord. And so pray and seek God's blessing regarding that burden, so that we might know God's power. So the burden is given not to crush us. The burden is given so that we might pray about the burden. And so it was with Nehemiah. So Nehemiah shows, first and foremost, that he was a praying man. And therein we have one of the great strengths of his remarkable leadership. And such an attitude of commitment and lifestyle to prayer affected him wherever he was. This was proven So when the king asks him what his request was, he immediately, we find, prayed to the Lord. The king said to me, what do you request? So I pray to the God of heaven. He's in front of the king. He's in front of the most powerful ruler in the world at that time. But no matter. He's before God in heaven. So I pray to the God of heaven. This is one of these arrow prayers. And you'll have them in your experience in life. You can't necessarily in this particular time go away and shut yourself away and have some quiet time with the Lord. This is an urgent matter. You're in the meeting. You're in a situation. And it's an immediate issue that needs dealing with. You're looking at that person and you've got to give that person an answer. So as a Christian, your first reaction is in your inner being, in the secret place of your heart, you pray to the God of heaven. So for Nehemiah, prayer was as important in the palace as out of the palace. Later, when facing danger and fear, he prayed, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. So Nehemiah's effective leadership was supported by his personal prayer life. He unashamedly testifies to his dependence upon God through prayer. He really appreciates the value of prayer in service for the Lord. And this is also clearly evidenced in his testimony in the way he encourages his workers to public prayer, understanding its importance. So we'll leave it there this evening. Nehemiah's wisdom, this is the first point under that third heading. He is a praying man, but we'll go on to see, God willing, if the Lord permits, that he is a thoughtful man. He's a practical man. He's a committed man. He's a focused man. He's an assured man. And we see all these characteristics coming through. And God's given us the book of Nehemiah to help us, to encourage us how we might know effective leadership for the honour and glory of God.